If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of John, the 15th chapter. We're going to begin at verse 15. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of friendship to Christ. You and I need him as a friend. The whole world needs him as a friend. But you know, in order for us to have him as a friend, we have to be friendly toward him. And we'll hit on a few of those things tonight. The 15th chapter of John, beginning with verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, wonderful. That's Jesus. No, he laid his life down for his enemies. Because when we were dead in trespasses and sin, still in the bondage of sin and under the influence of Satan, we were his enemy. We had no desire for friendship with Jesus. So in order for him to be our friend and us to be a friend to him, we have to repent of our sins and by faith trust him and what he has done to the saving of our soul, bringing us back from being dead in trespasses and sin to being alive spiritually. In other words, he takes away that sin that separates us from him. He removes the obstacle that is causing us and himself not to be friends. Verse 14 says, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Well, he commands all men everywhere to repent. We can be his friend if we're willing to do those things that he's commanded us. And it begins with repentance and faith in Jesus. "Henceforth, when that takes place, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." In other words, we can have a relationship with him that is higher than being a servant. Certainly we're to serve him. We're to worship him. But more than that, if we do that, then we are a friend to him, and he can be the kind of friend to us that his heart desires to be. For we'll be in a relationship with him that he can grant us joy. And not just joy, but the fullness of joy, which he desires to do. "So henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I've made known unto you." Verse 16, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." We haven't chosen him. He's chosen us. We didn't come to God, he came after us. And when we yielded and become obedient and submissive to him, then he made it possible for us to be in a position to be a friend. And he made it possible for us to be obedient to him and to worship and to serve him and to receive the blessings of that, which is joy unspeakable and full of glory. As a friend, we're to bring forth fruit. And that fruit should remain. That's eternal, by the way. Anything that we'll accumulate here goes away. No more. But that which we do with him, we'll have eternally. We'll enjoy it eternally. And in particular, we'll enjoy it far more when we stand in judgment and it's certain that all men are going to die and face the judgment. So go and bring forth fruit that your fruit should remain, that it might be eternal. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. His desire is to give to us. Look at all that he's given already. Those that know the Lord as their personal Savior, he's given them abundantly more than all of the wealth and riches of this world could give us. All the power in this world could give us. He's given us more. And he not only has given it to us, but he gave it to us eternally, again, if we'll be obedient and submit to his will in our lives. What friendship to Christ presupposes is that it presupposes faith in Christ. Proverbs 18 and 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, we need to have faith in Christ. Faith that he is our friend. Faith that he will be a friend far above any other could ever be a friend to us. And have faith that he'll be with us all the way, even through death and throughout eternity. We have to have faith and believe that he promised, when he promised that, he meant what he promised and he would carry it out. That's called hope. You see, he promised the redemption of our body. He promised us a total redemption from sin. We don't have it totally now, but one day we will have. We have to have the faith that he will keep that promise. We have to have faith in his existence. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, without believing, without trusting, without wholly, heartily accepting the promise that he made. And one of the most important promises that he made was if we'd repent of our sins and by faith trust him as Savior, then he'd remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. Deliver us totally and in our entirety. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to become a friend to Jesus. It's impossible for him to become our friend. So, well, I thought he loved all mankind. He does. But he can't be a friend to a wretched, miserable, rebellious, no-account sinner, which we all really are. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Now that's the real condition of man. We have to have faith in his existence. Faith that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. And then we have to have faith in his resurrection. Look at Romans 10 and verse 9. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is God for Israel is that they might be saved." Heart's desire, prayer to God, that we might be saved. Well, when we're saved, we're assured of the resurrection. Again, when we're saved, we're assured of a total redemption and total salvation. We have to have faith in his saving power. John chapter 3, verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. But he come that the world might be saved. This world is mankind, by the way, all of humanity. Then in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, we have to have faith in his saving power. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Friendship to Christ presupposes faith in Christ, faith in his existence, faith in his resurrection, faith in his saving power. Now, the extent of that faith, notice this verse, Hebrews 7:25 here. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost. Save them in their entirety. That come unto God by him. The only way to get that uttermost salvation is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. They come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, he's there. And when we sin, he's going to God the Father on our behalf. He's seeking that forgiveness. He's seeking that cleansing. You see, when we go to him, confess our sins, guess what? He delivers it. As a matter of fact, he and the Holy Spirit both are involved in delivering our message, our desire to God, to the Heavenly Father, to the throne of grace, seeking our forgiveness. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Then, what friendship to Christ prohibits? There's some things, if you're going to be a friend to Christ and him a friend to you, you're going to have to put away. Right. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a relationship. You can have a relationship, but to have fellowship, which that friendship is, you got to meet some requirements. You got to meet some requirements. You've got to be willing to confess your sin and believing and trusting that he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness as he promised to do. But it takes repentance, true repentance. And when one repents, by the way, they won't go back and do it over and over again and sin against him over and over again in the same manner or capacity. If they do, they haven't repented. Repentance is turning from self and sin and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning from and turning to. And that with the heart and genuinely. Too many people want to say, God, I'm sorry. And the next week or two or whatever time it takes, they're back doing the same thing they supposedly repented of. They weren't sorry to God that leads men to repentance. They were sorry because what it cost them or how it appeared. And I'll tell you what, the life you live, brethren, the life that I live, you better live it openly, because if you try to hide it sooner or later, it's coming out. And it's going to be a lot worse than if you'd have just went to the Lord and truly taken care of it, or if you would have just lived in obedience to him. Friendship to Christ prohibits friendship to the world because they are mutually exclusive. Look at Matthew 12, verse 7. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 7. Or no, 12 and verse 30 rather. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. What? If you're in this situation, you're not a friend of his. And you prohibit him from being your friend. I'd think on it a little bit. He that's not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Then again, look at 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Be not tied to or involved in this world and the things of the world. Do not be tied to or involved in those of this world. The reason is it'll prohibit you from being a friend of Jesus and him being a friend to you. Be not unequally yoked together. As a matter of fact, in the latter days, he says, come out from among you, or come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. They are mutually exclusive because of the world's material emphasis. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, seeking after the things of this world and piling on the material things in this life and making them more important than God in your life, it's a losing battle. You're already defeated before you get started, because all of this worldly material will draw you away from Christ. It'll bring you to a place to where that you'll sin, and that sin will separate you from him. Look at John, the second chapter, and verse number, or rather, look at John 18 and 36, rather. Now, so Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He's the king, but his kingdom's not of this world. His kingdom is not a material kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. And for one to enter that kingdom, they must be born again. In order to see that kingdom, you must be born again. James 4 and verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. No friendship there. If you're sympathetic and you let the world and the ways of the world and the things of the world rule your life, even if you're a born-again child of God, member of a New Testament church, and going through the motions of trying to serve him, it's all in vain. Solomon concluded he had all of it that one could have, and had so much of it, it probably made him sick at times. But he says it's all vanity and vexation. No profit to it. No profit to it. And the world cannot bring you the comfort and the peace of mind that friendship with Jesus will. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Then, Romans 12, verse 2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now we're dealing with the spiritual things. We are tuned in to carnal. We're dealing with it all the time, every day in our life. The being involved draws us away and makes the carnal things more important than the spiritual things. We need to get those things in their proper order and their proper place. Spiritual first, because first of all, we are a spiritual being. And God placed us as a spiritual being into a physical dwelling place, the physical body. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spiritual things are more important than any material thing, any physical thing. Did you know that salvation and that friendship with Jesus is more important than anything that you could gain or obtain in this world? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What does it profit one to gain the whole world and stand before Jesus empty-handed with nothing to show for the life that you lived? Because it was wasted upon this world and the gain and material things. And in that position, in that condition, it makes us an enemy of God, not a friend. And he has to be our enemy. And I'm convinced that he doesn't desire that. And what the life that he lived and the sacrifice that he made proves that he doesn't desire that. But we force him because we're not willing to give up this old material thing, this old physical life that we have. All right. Let's see, did we look at Romans 12, 2? Evidently. All right. We may have, who knows. Now, friendship to Christ. What does it produce? We looked at what it prohibits, but now we're going to look at what it produced. What friendship to Christ produces is obedience. Look at verse number 40 in our text. Verse number 40. Or no. Anyhow, the verse that we looked at referred to being obedient. It brings friendship to Jesus, requires and brings obedience to him. All right, it produces obedience in conversation. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto to godliness." And then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Give him a special place. Give him a special place. Did you know that just doesn't automatically happen? Just because you're saved, it don't mean he has a special place. You have to provide for him to have that special place. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You're not going to give them that account unless you become a friend of Jesus. You're not going to do it unless you're willing to be obedient and to go all the way. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The things that he saw concerning Jesus. The things they heard was about Jesus. And what they were to speak about was that, no matter what the cost. Because Jesus paid a great price that he might become truly a friend to us. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Friendship to Christ produces obedience. It produces obedience in conduct. And it produces obedience in commitment. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You want to have a friendship with God? You want to have the benefits of that friendship with Jesus? And remember, friendship to the world is temporary. Friendship to God or to Jesus is eternal. The benefits that it produces are eternal. Friendship of the world is temporal. Why go over it and over it again? You know what? It takes several times for us to hear something or even see it in order for us to remember it. Obedience in commitment. Romans 12, 1. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What friendship to Christ profits. It brings us rewards. It brings us the reward of correction. Look at Proverbs 27, verses 6 and verse 9. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And then verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. In other words, Jesus is a true friend, a real friend, and he'll tell you the truth about you. Look into the word, his word. It's like looking into a mirror. The spirit, our spirit through James. And you behold and see the condition that you're in. But remember, in a little time you go away and forget what you looked like. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Chastisement for the present. And then, no chastisement. There's no profit in no chastisement. The profit is in the chastisement. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or chastiseth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Why is that? It's because we are so hard-headed and hard-hearted and in such a condition in the flesh that it takes something drastic in order to get our attention and help us look to God. What'd it take you to bring you to the Lord? It took me almost dying in a car wreck as a young man, and I still suffer from the effects of that. It took that to finally pull me down enough to where I'd look to Jesus and get saved. Almost lost my firstborn before I'd surrender to him. and all the time saying to my wife, honey, one of these days we're going to have to start at Christmas this year, we're going to start going to church. Now, Easter, we're going to start going to church. We're going to go and then we're going to keep going. When we have children, we're going to have to start going to church because this world's a mess and no place to bring children up in. It's 10,000 times worse today, folks. It took that, almost losing my firstborn, to get me to surrender to a life for the Lord. You see, I'm pretty sure most of us in here, before we turn to the Lord, something catastrophic like that got our attention. Or even the fear of something like that happening has brought us to the place to where we'd look to Jesus. Is correction, chastisement? Yeah, it's profitable, it's beneficial. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The reward of companionship. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You got to seek, you got to desire, you got to work toward that friendship with Jesus and him being a friend to you. Proverbs 12, verse 8. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. The reward of commendation rests in Jesus. Other than that, this is the result. Job 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Everybody wants to think they're wise. Everybody wants to think they understand anything and everything. But listen. Behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Those who do not are unwise. Those who do not understand. I spent 2.5 hours on the phone the other day to a young, well, he's a young man to me. He'd be an old man to many of you. But I spent 2.5 hours on the phone with him, answering his questions. Like, why does God let little children die and suffer? Why does God let this war and stuff go on and so forth and so on? He didn't have any understanding because he wasn't wise. Because his life has been tied up totally and completely in the world and with the world. He has a fairly decent profession of faith, but he has no Bible knowledge, so he doesn't understand anything. He don't even know or understand how man came into existence. Yeah. Unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now, this young man that I was talking about, he's beginning to get some wisdom. He's beginning to get some understanding. He spent a lifetime having no knowledge or little knowledge and no wisdom. And what a price that he's going to have to pay when he stands before the Lord. You need Jesus as your friend. Yes, you need him as your Savior if you're not saved. But after you're saved, you need him as your friend. Well, I thought when he saved you, everything was just fine, okay, and all the relationship. Listen, when you look into the Word of God, you're going to find there's a whole lot more to it than just being saved. And that's what so-called Christianity today is selling people. You do good and be good, and your good outweighs the bad, then you're going to be just fine, because when you go to that gate where Peter is, and frankly, he don't have a gate, not at the gate, I'm sure, then you're going to be okay. It's going to send more people to hell than the taverns, the pot shops, and all these other wicked places are going to. I go by a wonderful new building. I mean, it is beautiful. And the number of cars in that parking lot on Sunday, good Lord. They're doing good and being good in order to get to heaven, the vast majority. And depending on doing good and being good, they're not going to make it to heaven. Because based on what a sinner does, it's not going to get them saved. Based upon what a saved person does as far as working for the Lord, being good and doing good, is not going to get them any reward. It's not going to get them well done, a good and faithful servant, because they haven't been. There's only one way, and the scripture bears out that way. Saved, scripturally baptized, the hands of a New Testament church and church membership, where God then can receive glory for what we do. There's no other way. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God has convicted your heart. Come to Jesus, whatever the need is. If you need to be saved, then come. Humble yourself before the Lord and be willing with all of your heart to turn from self and sin and turn to the Lord Jesus, trusting in Him that He can and He will save you when you're willing to let Him. What shall we sing?